day earlier, like at midnight.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. I wanted to be sleeping. But sometimes my plan is not God's plan. And many times it goes that way. And praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to be reading out there. I'm going to speak a little bit. And then Johan's going to share a few things as well. So you get to, you got two for the price of one tonight. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be good. Just let me know when you're there. Say there.
There.
All right. Some of you are quick. All right, Jonah chapter 1. I've been reading through the book of Jonah the whole month of December. So now, since December's over, I want to talk a little bit about chapter 1. It goes, the Lord gave, I'm reading out of New Living Translation. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. To get away from the Lord, he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Interesting. Hoping to escape from the Lord. Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fear for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold, in the belly of the ship. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. Verse 7. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Verse 10. The sailors were terrified, and when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord, oh, why did you do it? Interesting question. Why are you running from the Lord? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to stop this storm? Verse 12. Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know this terrible storm is all my fault. Verse 13. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh Lord, they pleaded, do not make us die for this man's sin, and do not hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Verse 15. Then the sailors picked up Jonah, picked him up and threw him into a raging sea. The storm stopped at once. Sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. If we continue to read it, we read how Jonah prayed, then how the fish upchucked, threw him up on the sea, on the shore, and how he brushed himself off and went into Nineveh, and then how he told Nineveh, repent. You know, the old time preacher, turn or burn, he would have said. And what they do, and so the king heard this, he goes, okay, I'm calling for a fast. They fasted and they repented, and Jonah went and saw that people were getting saved. And then God goes, oh yeah, I'm going to build a little plant for you. It's going to grow and it's going to leaf and going to give you some shade. And then all of a sudden, here comes a worm. He eats the plant and the shade falls over and he complains, I'd rather die. There's no pleasing this man. I mean, he took off. He goes, I don't want anything to do with God. And then he gets in trouble. He goes, well, I better return to God. And then he gets out of trouble. And then he complains that people are getting touched by God. And then when he gets touched by God with this plant, he complains because it's gone. Man. I think we've all been there at some time. Like, Lord, why are you touching them and not me? But that's not my sermon for tonight, my little speech. What I want to talk about is the storm. The reason why Jonah was in this storm, because of choices he made. Because he chose to not follow God. Most storms, not natural storms, but most storms that we face because we have chose, or someone has chose, not to follow God's word. Because you think about it, Jonah would never gone on that boat and he decided, okay, Lord, I will obey you the first time. I will go to Nineveh, even though I don't like them. I mean, you have to have some serious hate for these people that they're getting touched by God and you're mad at them. You're mad at God. That's some major, major issues there. I don't know if he grew up in the wrong household or whatever, but there's some really deep-seated hate there, probably from generations ago. And it's not just a rivalry between two football teams or anything like that, but this is like Hatfield and McCoys, you know, but they don't remember where the hate came from. And he hated them that much. So rather than obeying God, see what God can do, he chose, you know something? I really don't care. I am going to go the opposite way. And instantly, he gets in the boat. He doesn't go in details what he told them. But he tells them what he's doing. He's running from God. You ever tell anybody that you're running from God? I mean, that's pretty arrogant. I'm going where God's not. He can't catch me. I'm a gingerbread man. I'm God. There's no way he can catch me because he won't know where I'm at. I'm going to go down in that. I've told these guys, hey, it's all good. I'm running from God. It's going to be okay. I'm going to go to the belly of the boat and I'm going to take a nap. It wasn't storm. And it wasn't a nice little spring rain running across the Midwest. No. This was like a hurricane. And it got worse and worse and worse. And it's so bad. These are probably seasoned sailors sailing the seven blue seas. And so they knew how to navigate the sea, and all of a sudden, this storm is so bad, they're freaking out. They're crying out to a false god to help them. See, the world is in the same situation right now. There's going to be storms no matter what. And every year, you can look back at it, ever since the fall of man, there's always been storms. There's always been people making choices that have not been good for everyone. And there's storms that rises up. And people are crying out for different things to save them. They're crying out to this God and that God and that God. And they're not getting anywhere. You know, do you remember Elijah calling down fire? And before that, you have all these other people calling out to Baal, and he's over here mocking them? That's probably one of the greatest stories in the Bible, events. He's over there, oh, keep doing it. My guy's, I know what my guy can do. I mean, he had that much assurance that God could call fire down, that he could be mocking people. And Jonah was arrogant enough to think that, hey, this storm is not affecting me because guess what? I'm in the belly of the boat and I'm just sleeping away. But because of his choices, his choices is now affecting everyone on the sea. Especially in that boat, because they started throwing their cargo overboard. Well, this will help us. Oh, there goes Tuesday's lunch. Guess we got a fast Saturday now. Maybe we'll throw out the fishing pole and catch a fish. I don't know. But they were throwing stuff that probably wasn't theirs to throw away. If it's cargo, they're probably taking it from one port to another, to another, to another. But there's a storm brewing, and Noah and Jonah is just sleeping away. I think 2026 needs to be the year that the church wakes up and faces the storm that's taking place. Well, I didn't cause the mess. I didn't say you did. But what are we going to do to minister to the people who are walking through the storm? Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe their finances are messed up. I don't know. Maybe some choices. You're looking at them. Lord, they deserve what they're getting. You ever say, oh, Lord, they deserve that. You're driving down the road, it's snowy, icy roads, and people passing you by, and next you know, you see somebody in the ditch. Ah! You should slow down. But how, as we as a church, are we going to continue to sleep while the world's crying out to a false God? Guess what? There's going to come a time when the world's going to ask you personally, cry out to your God. Can you pray for me? How many of you ever had that phone call come in? Hey, I just got some bad news. Can you pray for me? Some of you get it quite often because they know that you will be praying for them. And so Jonah's there, and all of a sudden here comes it. They're crying out, they're throwing the stuff overboard, and the guy goes, where's that other guy? Oh, he's downstairs sleeping. Well, I'm going to go wake him up. We need to figure out what's going on because this is not normal. See, what the world's walking through is not normal. And that's the reason why God has equipped you to give you the guidance, the Holy Spirit, and the anointing to touch their lives. And so here he is. Hey, Jonah, wake up. What are you doing down here? You're supposed to be helping us. See, we're supposed to be involved in people's lives to help them. As messy as their lives are, and sometimes it's frustrating. Because just like Jonah, he'll give them some answers. They don't like it. You ever give somebody, they come to you for an answer, and you're like, if you do this, this storm will end. And they don't do it. And the storm gets worse. And you're like, come here. Can I just give you a gentle nudge with my hand? But he came and he goes, Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. People are looking for you to pray for them in the midst of their storm. Because you know something? They know what they're doing is not working. Even though Jonah caused this mess, people are still going to say, hey, can you help us out? And then they figured out it was Jonah's issue. Then Jonah answered them, and then the sailors were terrified. Then the question they ask, oh, why are you running from God? Or why did you do this? You ever ask somebody that question? What were you thinking? And what's their answer is?
I wasn't.
I don't know. Right? Jonah knew why he was running, but he never answered them. Jonah goes, you know, and whether then, and it says in verse 7, since the storm was getting worse all the time. They go, well, since you didn't tell us why you're doing what you're doing, how do we get out of this mess? How does America get out of the mess it's in? How do we, in our own personal life, if you have a mess going on, how do you do it? Well, just submit to God. But there's still ramifications to disobeying God. I mean, at least he didn't die in the belly of the fish. I mean, can you imagine all of a sudden he's walking into the city all scum-roden because of fish guts all over him and stuff? You know, it's like, yeah, where did you come from? I came from the fish. And remember, where this city is, Nineveh stood on the east bank of the Tigris River. So they would have a little bit of water knowledge. And you can imagine, I just came up from the water. And now I'm going to tell you to repent. But here he is. Well, why did you do it? What should we do to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea. What? They're always, when you're facing a storm that you created yourself, or somebody has created themselves, there's always a sacrifice to resurrect the storm. So, for example, if you overspend your budget each month, you have to stop spending. There's that sacrifice of not spending so much. Or it could be other items that there's a storm, maybe bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship. Maybe you should step back from relationships. There's always a sacrifice to obey God. And that's not a bad thing, because the results should always outweigh the sacrifice. You think about it. Super Bowl is about a month and a half away. Some people are excited, some people aren't. But most of the football players made a sacrifice since they were little kids. I never wanted to sacrifice my body. Lifting weights, all those things. No. I didn't want to sacrifice that. I like to be able to walk when I'm 50. It's a really good thing. I like having a good memory when I was age 50. It's a really healthy thing. And so I sacrifice other things. But the results, when you sacrifice it, if the results are worth it, the sacrifice will be painless. There'll be pain there, but it'll be basically saying, is this worth it? To get to your goal. What if your goal is to be a police officer? You will sacrifice a lot of things to get there. or maybe an airplane pilot. I don't know. Whatever God's called you to do, there will be sacrifices, but it's not a bad thing because it gets you from point A to point B to point C. And I guarantee you, I hate sacrifice because it hurts. But when the results come in, I get excited. And I'm like, it's like, they see, having a baby, giving birth, there's pain, all of a sudden the baby comes out. Oh wow, got a baby joy, got a baby. You're like, oh, this was worth it. At least that's what I heard. I don't know. I never gave birth. Never plan on giving birth. But here he is, he goes, throw me overboard. Do it. And Jonah didn't say throw me overboard because there's going to be a boat coming by. He didn't say throw me overboard because there's going to be a big blue fish that's going to swallow me whole. He didn't say throw me overboard because in the air an airplane's going to come by and capture me. Okay, they didn't have airplanes back then, I know. But he was never assured that he was going to live. And he goes, it'll be calm again. And I know this terrible storm is all my fault. So see, the cool thing about it, he recognized it. When you recognize the storm as your issue and you get to deal with it, man, it makes life a whole lot easier for everyone. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get to the land. I don't think that was Jonah said. This is not the first. This is not the only ship that was in a storm. Remember at the book of Acts, end of it, Paul was on the boat, on the ship, and he goes, hey, I wouldn't sail if I was you. I wouldn't go out there. You're like, what do you know? You're not a boater. You're not a sailor. You're not the captain of the boat. You're just a prisoner. You did something wrong. And all of a sudden, the storm comes up. And all of a sudden, the boat's breaking. He goes, don't get away from the boat. See, there's storms. Paul said, hey, don't do that. And then the sailors rowed and rowed. But it says the stormy sea was too violent for them. They couldn't make it. And then verse 14, they go, then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. When you stick to God's plan in the midst of the storm, when things are tough, but yet you still come to church, when things are rough and rocky, you still get up in the morning and worship God. When things are not going the way you think they should be going, you still bless God with your finances, with your time, with your energy, with everything you have. Guess what? Men, people will cry out to God. Sometimes it takes a while for them to come. Then they said they cried out to God. Jonah's God. Then they go, hey Lord, this is not our fault that we have to throw them overseas, overboard into the sea. So don't blame us. In other words, Lord, I'm taking your advice. I'm going to apply it to my life. If I fail, I fail, but help me follow after you. Jonah told us to do this. This is life, Lord. I'm not sure when God told Jonah to throw him overseas, over the board, into the sea. I don't know when. But could you imagine? I've been swimming in lakes, in rivers, where you park the boat and you jump off on purpose because it's a beautiful day. I guarantee you, I never went swimming in a lightning storm. And so, then so they picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm stopped 5 hours later. No, it's an act. Once. Your storm can end like that. When you turn to God and give to Him. Yeah, there's still residue. There's still things you have to clean up. It's like a big fish throwing you up. Like you now have to travel even farther away than you were before. Yeah, there's ramifications of messing up and causing storms and stuff, but yet the storm can stop instantly. Because you obey. And then the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power and offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. The last thing I want to say, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish. The Lord will arrange for the right thing at the right time. It looked like death to Jonah, but actually gave him life. Right, Ron?
Thank you, Roy. Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad you're here tonight? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Feel like you got something already?
Amen.
Oh, good. Pressure's off. It is a pleasure to be here with all of you as you dedicate a brand new year by coming to church on the first night of 2026. I do believe that 2026 will be the year of the storm, and that Pastor Roy is in some ways being prophetic when he preaches about Jonah and the storm that arises because of disobedience. I believe some of that to be of the Lord. And may the Lord give you insight into how that may play out in your life. It's going to be a year of a storm. And in the year of a storm, you need to be prepared to make the sacrifice, as Pastor Roy was saying. I only knew that he was going to preach out of Jonah. I didn't know how he was going to approach it. He said he was going to preach out of Jonah. I don't have anything out of Jonah other than to say there is a storm coming. What I have is how do we make a sacrifice? We're going to be in the book of John. We're going to be in the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 12 of both of those as we look at these. The sailors made a sacrifice. They ended up sacrificing in that they rowed as hard as they could until they got to exhaustion and were about to die. And then they said, okay, Lord, we'll give you the sacrifice you asked for. And they threw Jonah overboard, and immediately their seas were calmed. Jonah was asked to make a sacrifice. I want you to go to Nineveh, the people you hate, and make a prophecy. And he didn't want to do it. In fact, he only did it grudgingly because God was going to kill him otherwise. You know, he could have been digested in the belly of that fish. God could have found somebody else. But somewhere in the belly of the fish, Jonah said, okay, fine, I'll go do it. Now, in Jonah's case, when he did that, it didn't work out so well for him. As Pastor Roy alluded to, the end of the story of Jonah is a sad one. Jonah gets to the end of all of this. He does his prophesying. The people repent. There's a great and mighty revival. And Jonah's like, he's unhappy that the people repented. He wanted to see him die. You think a guy who was saved from the belly of a fish and received that kind of mercy would have a little bit more grace. But no. Jonah made a sacrifice. He did end up going to Nineveh. But he sacrificed wrongly. You know, a lot of us at this time of year, we make dedications, don't we? That's what we do. New Year's resolutions. I'm going to dedicate this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop eating too much. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop speeding. You're going to change something in your life that you've been doing wrong, and you want to start doing it right. How many of you ever done it? How many ever had one of those things last more than 6 weeks? A few of you have, praise God. There's a key to how to make a sacrifice like this and have it stick. Understand, this is a year to storm. storms, we're going to be asked to make sacrifices. And if you're going to make a sacrifice and have it stick, a dedication, and have it last, you've got to do it right. And can I tell you the first thing you can't do to make a dedication last? It's right over here. I don't know what it is, but... Are you saying I need a breath mint, brother? Wow, it's really bad if you can smell me from over there.
I have a question for you, Chris.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Thank you. If you're going to make a dedication and you're going to do it right, there's one thing you can't do. If you're going to do a dedication right, here's what you can't do. You can't make a dedication of your sin. Think about that for a minute. How many times do we do it? Oh, well, let's just cover the easy ones. You know, I'm overeating too much, so I'm going to dedicate my overeating to the Lord. I'm not going to overeat anymore. I guarantee you that's not going to work. You know why I guarantee that? Because you're making a dedication to the Lord of something that is nasty.
That's good.
Your sin is nasty. You don't dedicate your sin to the Lord. You must bring to the Lord that which is good and right and precious. Now, should you repent of your sin? Yes, you should. Should you turn away from your sin? Yes, you should. But you will not last in your dedication to the Lord if all you do is, oh, I'm giving up this thing. That's not a dedication. And the Lord... The Lord has no obligation to you not doing something. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Let's get to this in the Word. Very familiar passage. Many of you will have heard this one before, but I want you to consider it in the idea of making a sacrifice, of making a dedication. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany at the home of Lazarus, the man who had been raised from the dead. Now there's a sacrifice. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. There's a sacrifice. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance. What do you notice about all those sacrifices in that passage? Every one of them shares one thing in common. They are all doing something in the positive. They're doing something to honor the Lord. Now, let's go to my example that I gave you, the easy one. Oh, well, I'm overeating. I don't want to overeat anymore. Well, what is your dedication to the Lord? How can that be positive? How can you take this thing which is negative and you turn it into something positive which can change your life? Instead of saying, oh, well, I'm just going to stop overeating. Well, when you just stop, you just have a void. When you have a void, nature will fill it. You can avoid eating for a little while, and then what's going to happen? You're going to get hungry. And the longer you void or avoid eating, you're going to get hungrier. And then the hungrier you get, when you actually give in to that hunger, which most everybody will rather than starve to death, you are going to eat more. And you put all that weight right back on. How many have ever done that? So easy to do, right? You see, a dedication can never be the thing that's sinful. Nor did they dedicate that here. What did they do? They prepared a feast in the honor of Jesus because he had raised a man from the dead, and the man who was raised from the dead was going to be sitting at the feast. They did something in the positive. I'm going to prepare a feast. Mary, Martha, she did something in the positive. What did she do? Martha, she served. She went around and waited all the tables, served everybody. if you were to come into this feast, the first person you would have met was the hostess, Martha, saying, oh, hi, welcome, so nice to see you. Can I get you something to drink? Can I get you something to eat? Oh, we have a foot washing station over here. She can clean up from the road. Martha was there serving, serving, serving. We don't hear about all that she did, but she had dedicated something to the Lord. She was serving. And then Mary, she also had made a dedication to the Lord. Now, before we talk about Mary, let's consider our dedications. How do we take that which is negative? We want to walk away from a sin. We want to walk away from a bad habit. We want to turn it into something that can be dedicated to the Lord. How about dedicating to the Lord that which He desires? If you're going to give a gift to someone, you've got to figure out what they want, right? Well, when it comes to your weight, what does the Lord want?
Health.
He wants you to be healthy. Why? Because a healthy saint is an active saint. A healthy saint is a saint full of energy, a saint that is attracted to other people, and he wants people to be attracted to his saints, doesn't he? You should be nodding your head right now. Jesus wants you to be attractive to the world. And it doesn't have to be all physical. Obviously, it's not. But when you're healthy, you glow. Mm-hmm. When you're healthy, you're attractive to others, whether you think you're beautiful and attractive that way or not. When you're healthy, you are more attractive than when you are unhealthy. So maybe instead of saying, oh, I want to give up all this overeating, you say, Lord Jesus, I dedicate to you my health as an act of service that I might better serve the world. And I guarantee that is a far better chance of actually succeeding than, oh, I want to stop overeating. Because you're filling the void with an activity, with a dedication unto Him. You want to change your ways? Don't just repent of your sin. Put in that which is right and good and true. Set your mind on that which is just and pure and holy. Yes. And then ask yourself, as you do these little things, and these little dedications are good, and this is the time of year when we do a lot of them, but ask yourself this question. What is the full measure of dedication that I can give Him? Because the household threw a party. Martha went out and did some service. And Mary said, what is the most I can do? Now I'm going to give you a little secret here that you can believe me or not. I believe Mary had heard what Jesus said earlier in the gospel when he said, I'm about to go and die. And Mary, unlike the disciples who didn't believe him and didn't understand what he was saying, she believed him and she said, oh, my Lord is going to go and die? Well, then he must go and die as a king. For he is King of Kings. He is my Lord. And if a king is going to go die, a king must be anointed. And you can't just anoint the king with just a little bit. You've got to anoint the king with a treasure. And Mary went out and either purchased or had, we don't know which, she went and found a treasure of anointing perfume. The perfume oftentimes used to dedicate somebody who's going on with a reward. When the storm comes, make no mistake, Mary was facing a storm. She believed Jesus, that he was about to die. The man she loved, the man who had raised her brother from the dead. When the storm comes, it's time for the big dedication, the ultimate sacrifice. If your spirit brings with the word that 2026 is a year of the storm for the church, then 2026 is the year of the big sacrifice, the big dedication. The one where you don't just do a little bit, a little something, you don't do just what you could do, you do all that you possibly can. You dedicate everything you have to making the sacrifice for the Lord. Now imagine this situation again with me. Come back into the story and imagine the story and ask yourself, how does this apply to my life as we do? When we go back into the story with Mary there, she's with Jesus at a party, a big feast. Other people and other guests are there. And what does she do? She doesn't just bring in this little present wrapped up in a gift, say, here, Jesus, here's a little present for you, and then lets him open it. That's not how it went down. What happens? In front of everybody, this whole crowd of people is there for this dedication, this wonderful celebration of Jesus. In front of everybody, she takes this jar, this expensive jar, she gets down on her knees, she breaks it open, puts it on his feet, and then she starts wiping it up with her hair in front of everybody. You want to talk about a total dedication? Not just of the financial resources that went into that, but of the reputation of a woman who would then bow down at her feet and wipe a man's feet in front of everybody with her hair. But first, guys, it could be our beard. Right, Roger? He'd be better at it than me. I want to tie this back to Jonah, and then back to Mary, and then we're going to go to Luke. And I won't keep you much longer. I can speak, preach fast, but I wanted this part to settle in. I want Holy Spirit that time to speak to your heart, because God is asking some of you to make a dedication tonight. And he's asking all of you to seek him for what the dedication that is going to be required for this year is. Jonah was asked to dedicate a journey and to dedicate his life for those he hated. And he said no. And God said go. And he said no. And God said you're going to go. And he said no. Until some sailors were about to die because of his disobedience. And then he said, well, all right, fine. I won't go, but at least throw me overboard. I give up. Good on him for at least getting to giving up. And some of us in our dedications want to get to that point. We love to sing, I surrender all. I'm giving up. I surrender all. You do it now, Lord. All to thee, my blessed Savior. We love that. And it's not bad. But you must get to the next step, for you cannot stop at surrender. Dedication never stops at surrender. Dedication says, I'm now going to commit all that I am and all that I have for he who is worthy. Our dedication this year will not be one without effort. And while we have, yes, the Lord and his grace, and it is grace that accomplishes all in us, and that is entirely true, his grace also is sufficient for stirring your will, stirring your zeal, stirring your effort, stirring your dedication to complete that which he has called you to.
Yes.
And if all you find yourself doing is, oh God, I give up, repent of that.
Yes.
And dedicate yourself to his dedication. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We're going down partway through the chapter. I'm very fond of reading all the context, but you're probably not fond of staying here for the time it would take to give you it all. So I'm going to pick up in verse 29. Jesus is talking to his disciples specifically, and he's sharing with them some of the keys of the kingdom. He says, don't be concerned about what you eat and what you drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, Jesus. Oh, can I tell you, friends? I often find myself living in the world and forgetting that he wants to give me the kingdom. Why do we have to make New Year's resolutions? Because the world gets on us. I like to call the world sticky. It's sticky. I get out in the world and, you know what, I'm not watching anything sinful. I'm not doing anything that's evil. But the world and its stuff is sticky. They designed it to be that way. Advertising specifically designs and scientifically researches the ways to grab a hold of your attention and make you want what they want you to want. They're really good at it. And the world is really good at making you want what it wants you to want. It gets on you. And we need the Lord to renew us in the fact that we have a kingdom. Yes. And that when we are looking to make a dedication of our all, it's not for no reward. Rather, it's for the greatest of rewards. The kingdom of God is ours to have. It's ours to possess. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. If we will make a dedication of our way to the kingdom, if we will make a dedication of our life to his kingdom's work around us, if we will give up the things that stick so easily and say, yes, I surrender those, but I don't just stop there. I don't stop at surrender. I go on to dedication. And I give everything I have, all my resources, all my life, all to you, Jesus. A dedication to you. Did you see verse 33, what it says to do? Sell your possessions and give those to those in need, and this will store up for you treasure in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Boy, he goes right to the heart of the matter. Just give up everything. Just sell everything you have, give to those in need, and you will have treasures in heaven. You will be building the kingdom. I don't know, maybe you don't like that idea. Well, Jesus said, this is the way. Yes. Want to be part of the kingdom? You want to make a dedication to me? Well, start by making sure that your resources are dedicated to me. And look at this last thing. This one blows me away. This one transforms my thinking about sacrifice. Because sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I got to dedicate my way to the Lord, just live the holy way. And it would be a little bit like Jonah. I don't really want to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't really want to go to Nineveh, but I'm going to do it anyway. We get a little like that. Maybe you don't get like that. I get a little like that sometimes. It doesn't work out well for us. But I want this next scripture to transform the way you see your dedication to him, your service to him. Look at the reward that awaits you. Not just the kingdom. The kingdom's great. Hey, kingdom of God, love it. But look at this next one. Verse 35, be dressed for service keep your lamps burning. In other words, make your dedication, serve him as he calls you to do, do it faithfully, do it diligently, verse 36, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. You're doing it as if he's coming today. He might be coming. I'm looking for him. He's coming. I'm serving because he's told me to, and he might be coming. Isn't that awesome? That's the way we should be. Look at the reward for it. I don't know if you've seen this before. Look at this reward. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. And the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he, who's he? Just make sure we're with it. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, glorious, think of Jesus in Revelation. This is not Jesus on the cross. This is Jesus, fire in his eyes, sword in his hand, bright horse rode across the land. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. Your dedication, when fully and joyfully engaged with, results in the Savior come and serve you. What? No, really. The Savior comes and serves you. If you are joyfully waiting for him when he comes, he becomes your servant. I can't even conceive the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Here, Roger, let me put on your boots for you. Would you like some grapes? You see what it does? It elevates you to the place of the Savior. It makes you the object of his love. In front of everybody, by the way. I believe Mary, who did what she did in front of everybody, a little bit humiliating, really, what she did in front of everybody, means when Jesus comes back, in front of everybody, he'll elevate her as he will for us. Let that put your dedication this new year into its context, into its positive framework. Not the negative, no, I'm going to give up this, I'm going to give up that, but no, yes, I'm going to dedicate myself and my life and my resources and everything I am to him this year, and I'm going to run after him because he's going to come to me. It is the prize. Let us do it with all joy, that we might receive our reward. So tonight, I already mentioned, I believe some of you are being asked to make a dedication of aspects of your life. You're being asked tonight to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to put it in the negative, put it in the positive. I'm going to whatever that is, I want you to write it down. Roy, can you help me out?
Sure.
Pass these around. Not everybody here has a dedication. If you don't have a dedication, you're just not sensing anything on this. You don't have to put anything on there. But if you're sensing a dedication, I want you to write it down. I don't have to show it to anybody. I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to embarrass you if you don't want to be. However, if you want to make yourself humble in front of others and say, I'm dedicating this, you're welcome to. But I want you to write down, what is your dedication? What is it this year that will be your alabaster jar sacrifice in the time of the storm when it's critical What is the Lord asking you to this year? Why do we write them down? We write them down because the Word was made flesh and manifest amongst us, and He lived amongst us, and then what He said was written down. We write them down because the written Word is the living Word made lasting. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I ask you to move now in our hearts and help each one of us to write down our dedication tonight. To write down that which we are giving to you, making a sacrifice to you. Help us, Lord, to put it into that which we will do for you, that which we will serve for you, that which we will be for you. Help us to leave behind all those things that held us back, that have kept us from being that which we have called to be. Help us just leave those behind and dedicate ourselves. The positive future you've called us to. May this new year, 2026, find your church making a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing in your sight. In the name of Jesus. If you need a pen, Roy's got those for you too. Just put up your hand. We are going to say a prayer over these sacrifices before we release you tonight. Ask the Lord to bless it. Ask His Holy Spirit to empower it. Ask His grace to fulfill it in us. Take your hand, put it over your written dedication. If you're quite done with it, that's all right. We'll finish it. Take your hand, put it over your written dedication. And repeat this after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I make this dedication. Out of the love of my heart for you. Help me, Lord Jesus, to fulfill that which I have dedicated. By your grace, let me do more than I have ever done before. For the joy that is set before me, and that we may rejoice together. Amen. That's all I have, Roy. Unless you want to bring some more. We figured we would tag team tonight, and if I was done, I'd tag him back in, so.
We always want to make room at the altar if you're going through something, if you need prayer for something, that's what these are for. You just dedicated something to God, and maybe you need a little bit more time to pray through it. And as you dedicate to God, it's easy to make, hey, Lord, this is dedicated to you. But ask Him what your next steps are. Do you ever have a goal? I've never told this to my wife, but in the last month I've been running through my brain of like, how can I run a marathon? 26 miles. I always thought it was a stupid idea. About a month ago, the Lord goes, I think you can do it. So now, I can dedicate that to God all I want. But what's my next step? What would be the next step?
Run a half marathon.
What's that?
Run a half marathon.
There you go. But what, first, is make sure you get the running shoes to run. And then all these little steps. So what is this one thing you have dedicated tonight to God? What is that next step? It doesn't have to be big. Because to get from A to Z, you have to go through 20 some odd letters. Or I don't remember how many letters in the alphabet anymore. I graduated. But you can't just hop from A to X, then to Z. You have to hit A, then B, then C, then D, then E. And somewhere along the line, about F, G, and J, and I, it won't be as much fun. It won't be, you won't have that cheering squad from the beginning of the race.
Right.
I mean, the kids and I ran a 5K over Thanksgiving. The cheering squad was there when we took off. My wife went into the car to get warmed up. She wasn't going to be out there cheering for us in the cold weather. Mile and a half, you're like, what did I sign up for? Now suddenly you turn that bed and you can start seeing the crowd at the finish line. Somewhere in the middle. A lot of people, I mean, some of you have a goal to read the Bible through all 66 books this year. And I commend you for it. But did you read today? Do you have a plan to read tomorrow? How about April 3rd, when the newness of the new year has worn off, do you have a plan to continue? Or you're going great, and all of a sudden you get this storm. Do you have a plan to write that, to go through that storm? No matter what, I'm going to still get up and do this. Even there is a sacrifice. So what's the next step? You got that piece of paper. There's more up here. I can throw out three. I got 3x5 cards if you need them. Maybe God's telling you this is your next step in this. What's that next step? Because once you dedicate it to God, it's His. And now, you're responsible to fulfill it. How great is that?
Thank you.
Because guess what? He knows, with His help, you can do it. One of our goals every year for my wife and I, can we outgive what we gave last year? Can we give more in 2026 than I ever have in 2025, 2024, all these years? And I look back and I have tax records of how much we gave. And a lot of it we give without tax records. We just bless people. But we keep it, so we know where the money's going. And it keeps increasing every year. Why? Because we dedicated it to God. And so we're going to play a song, a video, and unless you have one ready to go. Anyway, we're just going to have some music and some songs, and we can continue to sing. But maybe you want someone to come along and agree with you in this dedication. Say, hey, and maybe you need somebody to cheer you on about 2 weeks from now. Because Aurora, about this time last year, she spoke on a Wednesday night. 2 weeks into the New Year's is called Quitter's Week, or Quitter's Day. I don't think we have a quitter in this place. I know we don't. You might get knocked off your horse, but I guarantee you, you'll get right back up on it. So, I guarantee you, all these emotions of tonight, of the holidays, will fade. And then you look over at your spouse if you're married, or your kids, or whoever, your dog, or whatever, and you're like, okay, it's still cold out. It's late February, early March, it's still cold out. I'm going to still go for my 3-mile walk. I don't want to, Lord. So I put out my clothes, I put on my boots. Now I got these little pokey things so I don't slip and fall. I got my jacket. I have my heated hoodie. I got warm hands. Those 10-hour things. Just don't sleep with them. Ask Aurora.
Bad idea.
Even though the instruction says that. It's still, it's 10 below. All right. That's what's dedication. It's a dedication.
Thank you.
Make your life dedicated to God. We'll pray, and I don't know if you have anything else. If not, we'll just, and if you want Johan to pray for you, myself to pray for you, whoever, or one of the ladies, or whoever, who, or if you want somebody in this area, somebody you know, hey, will you pray for me? Let them pray for you.
Jeremy's going in tomorrow for a pat scan. To see where this cancer's coming from. They think it might be coming from his kidneys, but they're just guessing. They said he's got some kind of cancer. Maybe that's starting in the kidneys. And it's got a spot on the lung and two tumors on his brain that are the size of a golf ball. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do surgery next week. And then.
All right.
Huh? Golf ball. It's metastasized. It's in a form.
All right. Lord, we'll have you come up and stand in the gap for him. So let's pray. And why are you giving to God? And there's steps. What are those steps? Because it's great to have a vision, a dream, but if you don't take action, like I had a vision playing football when I got older, I didn't take action, so I chose not to play football. Father, we thank you. We thank you what we're dedicating to you right now. As Johan already prayed, we dedicate it to you. And Lord, we take ownership of this dedication. And we're going to see it through that a year from today. As we gather again, 2027, as the Lord tarries, we can look back and say, I dedicate this thing to God. And I was faithful. And He was faithful. And I can be proud of what you told me to do. And I made the right decisions to carry it out. Even in the midst of struggles and frustrations and disappointments, that I chose to continue to be dedicated to what you told me to do. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. In your name we pray, Jesus.